You go before the Lord with me in prayer. God, you are holy and you are great and you are mighty. God, you are the one who created everything. All the stars in the sky, all the people in the world. God, you are the one that reached down to save us by sending your Son. So God, we worship you and we love you. God, as we get into your word today, I pray that you will let your word get into us, to do its work within us that you want it to, Lord God, to spur us on, to challenge us, to perform surgery in the ways that it needs, to comfort us, to rebuke us, to correct us, whatever it is that you need to do, we just open our hearts to your word and your spirit to do that. God, will you give me your words to speak that they'll go out with your power? Will you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand what you have for us? In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue our theme that we've kind of been talking about the last couple of weeks of spoudazo, okay? Remember, spoudazo is that fun-to-say Greek word that basically means give it your everything. Okay, this is where Peter said be diligent, okay? And that would have been like if we put it kind of in Greek and English, it would be have spoudé, okay, which is the noun form of spoudazo. Okay, I know it's a fun thing to say, okay? But basically what it means is give it your everything. Be diligent. Like, remember the seriousness of it. So what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, we're going to continue on today, is there is a seriousness, there is an intentionality that God desires us to have in our spiritual walk. Okay, if you were here last week when we had our Bible Olympics and we had the kids here and we ran races and stuff like that, we're going to pick up, we're going to go back a little bit to just do a little bit of review, and then we're going to continue on in some of the things that we weren't able to cover last week. As we continue looking at that running to win or that pressing on, but it's the idea of God is encouraging us in our walk with Him, in the race of life He's given us, to have diligence, to recognize the weightiness of what it means to live out our faith. And so we're going to be talking about that today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Like I said, we're going to read some of the verses that we talked about last week, but we're going to be focusing more on a passage from the book of Philippians. So here is where the term run to win comes from in Scripture. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul is talking about in this. The context of this is basically he's saying, in order to reach different people, I've become like them, so to speak. He said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew, even though I'm not under the law. And to those that didn't have the law, then I was like one who wasn't under the law, but I'm still under grace. I'm still supposed to live God's way. And then he ends it with this kind of exhortation saying, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control on all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body. I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Now, Paul is saying, look, in a race, okay, everybody runs. But only one person gets the prize. Only one person wins. So in our Christian life, run in order to grab onto the prize. Remember we talked about this last week. Okay, it's going to connect later, so that's why I have to do it again. Okay, so most of us here have probably seen a football game, right? Now, when the quarterback hands the ball off to the running back, right? We talked about this last week. So if you don't remember it and you were here last week, then you got to remember, okay? And the running back grabs the ball, right? Nobody's going to take it away from him. Okay, that is the Greek word lambano. When the quarterback hands the ball off to a running back and he grabs it super tight, that's the Greek word lambano. Okay, why do I talk about it? Because here's what he says. Not that one. I got to go back a slide. I'm like, it's not even up there. Okay, only one person grabs the prize. That's what it is. Only one person is like that running back that snatches that ball, receives it, grabs that prize. And then he says, so run in a way that you may win. But in Greek, that's not what it says. He says, run that you may grab the prize. But it's a different word. Okay? It's the word katalimbano. So it's the same word, limbano, running back, grabs it. But that kata in front of it makes it more intense. Okay, so the word picture is, we've done it before, right? Running back gets hit, ball goes on the ground, and like everybody dives on the ball, wrestling for it and everything. Okay, that's the word katalimbano. They are both strong words. But one is like you're receiving, and the other one is like diving in the pile to grab it. Now, that's what Paul is saying. Everybody runs. Only one person grabs onto it. So run that you dive on it and snatch it. That's what he's saying. Now, in our Christian life, it's not like at the end of our life, we're going to be like ranked of like who won and who didn't. Like one person wins and everybody else loses. That's not what it's like, okay? But what Paul here is trying to show us is the seriousness of us walking out our faith. Just like an Olympic athlete trains. That's why he says here in the next slide here, he says, so I'm not just running aimlessly. I'm not just like doing good things just to do them. No, I have an aim. I like how, I think it's the New Living Translation says, I'm not merely shadow boxing. Like Paul is like, the things that I do have an intentionality, have a purpose to it, because God has given us a race to run. And there's a seriousness to it. There's an intentionality. There's like this, come on, let's do this. That's what that Lambano grab the prize, kind of Lambano dive on it. Like that's what he's talking about. It connects with that spudazzo, give it your everything. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, he's talking about all the saints of the Old Testament. If we were to read through chapter 11, it's like he starts way at the beginning and he talks about all these people who through faith lived their life. Who through faith they were waiting for the kingdom to come. They're waiting for a city whose architect is God. Because here's what he says. He says, so because we have that, we have their example, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay, I brought these cones today because this is like what that word means. It's like we have this race. It'd be like if we put these cones down, okay, and I'll try to put them here so we don't trip over them later, okay? But it's like all of us, God has given us a race to run. Like he has set out in front of us this life that God has given us, okay, this course that God desires us to run, the life that he wants us to run in. We all have one as individuals. And so, the writer of Hebrews is saying, so let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Some translations say the pioneer of our faith. Because it's not just that he's the one who like wrote the story. He's the one that blazed the trail. We go behind him. He's the pioneer. He's the author. And he's the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. These are all things we talked about last week, okay? One of the things that we didn't hit so much was, what are the encumbrances? And what are the sin? Right? Because remember, if you were here last week, I ran races against the kids. Remember, I had a backpack of books on front and back. I took my glasses off so I couldn't see, and I had skis on my feet. Okay, and that was a representative of some of us as we seek to live this life that God has given us. We've allowed things to weigh us down and sin to trip us up. And so what are some of the things that can be weights in our life that weigh us down? Because when it talks about encumbrances, it's not necessarily talking about sin. He talks about that in the next part of it, but things that can distract us or things that make us heavy when we're trying to run. It could be past hurts. Maybe you've gone through things that you hold on to, and it's like trying to run a race with a backpack on. Maybe you have some false beliefs, like when there's things in Scripture that you haven't learned yet, and so you hold on to a false belief. I've had different people talk about that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. That's not in the Scripture. We receive more than we can handle all the time. God won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. That's in the Scripture. But I know people that have gone through their life thinking that God gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers. So if I have a hard battle, it must be God must think I'm so strong. But that's not necessarily the case. God says that he'll be with us no matter what we go through. He said he won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. That he'll be with us in the valley of the shadow of death. But just because we face hard things, it's not that God's like, oh, you're so strong, so I'm going to give this to you. Like, that's not there in Scripture. He's going to support us. So sometimes we can have past experiences, or we can have false beliefs, or maybe unhealthy relationships. Like people in our life that as we're trying to run this race, it's like they're holding on to our leg. And it weighs us down. It's maybe not necessarily sinful. Or how about this thing? This can be a great tool, right? I mean, I use it on my slides every week. Okay, I can go from one slide to the other and everything like that. We can use it for so much good, but it also can just be a very big time waster. And that can be something that weighs us down. That when we're trying to run this race, that we're distracted. And so these are some of the things that can weigh us down. And what is the instruction given here? The instruction is to throw them off. Then he talks about sin that tangles us up. And all of us can probably look in our own hearts and we'll let God look at us and be like, okay, what are the sins that really threaten to tangle me up or do tangle me up? And so the challenge for us is in the course of life is to throw those things off. And again, this is what we talked some about last week, so we're not going to stay here so long. But here's the important part. How do we throw those things off? It's not, yes, there is this decision we come to, we go, this backpack, I don't want to wear it anymore. And some there may be things that it's easy to make a decision and you can kind of drop it off. But some things you may need help to have somebody help you work through to get this backpack off because you've gone through things. But in the verse in green there, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and perfecter of our faith. You see, so much of the Christian life, so much of being able to run the race that God has given us comes from knowing the Word of God, from knowing who God is, knowing what He has done. But the challenge that I want to give you, and we'll give it here and we'll also talk about it later, because it goes with that spudazzo, because we can say, okay, I want to take these things off, I want God to help me with this sin, and I want to run the race, awesome. But here's the challenge about being diligent. We need to make a strategic plan. Like, before God, we go, okay, God, what are the things that weigh me down? And how can I let you take them off me? To actually think about it, to pray about it, to get some help if you need that. God, what are the sin that trips me up? I want to be free from it. And then, like, God, how can I fix my eyes on you? How can it not just be something that I go like, yes, I'm going to do it, but I say, and this is how. Because, you see, we want to live this life with spude, with spudazzo, with diligence, with seriousness. To be intentional with it. And I think that's what the writer of Hebrews, I think that's what Peter, I think that's what Paul, they're getting at, for us to realize like the weightiness of being a Christian, that it's not just going through the motions, but we go, God, I really want to do this. Will you help me? And as I say that, I want us to make sure we ultra focus on, it doesn't come down to, okay, I'm going to do this now. It comes about as we fix our eyes on Jesus. As we let the truth of what He's accomplished on the cross be like the focal point of our life. Because even in the midst of this encouragement and this challenge, it's not what you can do by yourself. It's about resting and relying on the work that Christ has done. So there's this both that work together, right? Christ has done it. He saved us. He wants to empower us. And then we want to, with spudazzo, walk in that. And to have this intentionality. But go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Because we're going to talk a little bit about how we can do this. Because here's one thing, like as we kind of have this tension here, okay? God has done all the work. And so we rest in Him, but that rest isn't we just go, whatever. No, we want to have diligence, right? And it's both working together. It's sometimes we can think that if I'm not perfect, I might as well give up. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Well, I want to be here and I'm not here, so who cares? And so here's the thing. We cannot expect perfection this side of heaven. Like, we're not going to be perfect. perfect. We're not going to be sinless. We're not going to run every race all the time without weights, without sin tripping us up. We're never going to stay on the course. We may be running off this way. It's going to happen. Hopefully, more and more it happens less. I guess it happens less and less. Maybe that's how I should have said it. But don't let perfection keep you from running to win, from pressing on in God's grace. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit from the book of Philippians. So Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 7. And this is where Paul is, and he's debating these people that are talking about righteousness. And he's like, I don't want to play this game, but if you really want to play this game about your goodness, if righteousness could be established based on what you do, I'd win the game every time. And then he goes through everything. Like, I'm a Pharisee. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. When it comes to the law, I was faultless. Like, if anybody could look at their resume and be like, man, that person deserves God's grace, right? If that could happen, he's like, it'd be me. But, then he starts in verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, any of those things that I could look at and be like, look at my own righteousness. He says, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be a loss in view of, get this, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I put all these things in green about Christ, in Him, gain Him, in Christ. The surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish. He says, all those things I could lean on, it's trash. Why? So that I may gain Christ, and I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from my own things I do. Okay, it's not derived from the law, from what I do or don't do, but it's that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So Paul, in his desire to run this race, he's like, look, it is not about how good I run the race. It's about what He's accomplished. You get that? All those things that were good, I count them as rubbish. Why? Because I just want to know Christ Jesus. I want to be found in Him. And then look what he says when he continues on. That I may know Him, in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed in His death, and that I may, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. So he says, look, I want my life to be about knowing Him experientially, knowing the power of His resurrection, knowing the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. You see, Jesus Himself said, this is eternal life, that they may know You, God, and the One that You've sent. So in our desire to be diligent in running the race that God has given us, it really does start with fixing our eyes on Christ. It really does start with knowing Christ. I don't have this passage up on the screen, but it's from Ephesians chapter 1, I believe. If you want to turn there, keep your finger in Philippians. This is where Paul gives a prayer for the Ephesians of what he wants them to know. We talk about what we want to know Christ, but what is that about? Well, here it's the power of His resurrection. It's the fellowship of His sufferings. It's being conformed to His death. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, this is Paul's prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Okay, this is Ephesians 1, 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know the hope of His calling, the riches of the glorious of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. So he says, look, this is my prayer. I want you to know, number one, the hope of God's calling. The confident expectation of what it means to be a Christian. That Christ has washed away our sins. That heaven is guaranteed for us who have put our faith in Him. He said, I want you to hold on to that. I want you to know that confident expectation. Number two, that I want you to know the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Like, to know it. Like, what is the inheritance that's waiting for us in heaven? They use gold to pave the streets there, right? I mean, I'd like to be like on that pothole crew there in heaven, right? You know? The glorious inheritance that we have that will never perish, spoil, or fade, that's reserved for us in heaven while we are protected here on earth, that no matter what we go through, even in the deepest, darkest valley, if the very worst thing that could happen happened to us, we are still protected to receive that inheritance to come, that we would know that, and that the knowledge of that would be even more real than just what we see in our world. So we'd know the hope of His calling. We'd know the riches of the glory of His inheritance. And then number three, that we would know the surpassing greatness of His power toward us. That the God who created everything lives in us as humans. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, you may just be like, yeah, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Like, but that should blow our minds. Like, we have this treasure in these earthly vessels. That God Himself would live within us. That He would seek to empower us to live His way. And here's what it says in Ephesians. It is the same power that when Christ was dead for 3 days, God went, okay, be resurrected. And He was raised to life, never to die again. So in running this race, it starts with fixing our eyes on Christ and knowing Him, the calling, the hope of the calling, the glory of His, the riches of His inheritance, and the power that He works on our behalf. And then back to Philippians, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Here's what Paul said. Sorry, verse 12. We'll go to 14. He says, not that I've already obtained it, or I've already been made perfect. This is Paul, right? Like the great apostle Paul. Like how much of the Bible did he write? Like how many missionary journeys did he go on? Like how many times was he like beaten and whipped? And I mean, they threw stones at him until they thought he was dead and they dragged him out of the city. Like this is the great apostle Paul. And he's like, I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't grabbed onto it. That's that. I haven't lambanoed it. Like the running back. I haven't been made perfect, but what do? I press on. That word behind press on in Greek, it can have like a positive connotation or a negative connotation. The negative connotation is persecute. Okay, now this is obviously used in a positive connotation, right? But it just shows it's a strong word. In the negative, it's persecuting someone. In the positive, it's pressing on with that same intensity, but in a positive way. I press on so I may lay hold of. Okay, those three times that they're in the gold, that's that word catalambano. So he says, I haven't limbanoed it yet, but I press on that I may catalambano, dive on it like it's a fumble, that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Do you know that if you're a Christian, then when you were an enemy of God, when you were a fumble on the ground, Christ dove on you to grab you. He catalambanoed you. That's what Paul is saying. Christ grabbed a hold of me. And because He's grabbed a hold of me, like I'm secure in the salvation that I have. And so I want to seek to grab on for that, the reason why He grabbed a hold of me. And then in verse 13, brothers, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on, again that same word, it's a strong word, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. It's interesting, we actually talked some about this in the Sunday school class that Jonathan was leading here. In running this race, we can't expect perfection this side of heaven. But we don't let that not being perfect, we can't let that keep us from running the race. Because how do we run it? We fix our eyes on Christ, what He's done, who He is. We seek to know Him. Yes, we seek to allow Him to throw off the things that hinder us and the sin that tangles us up. But here's what He says, forgetting what lies behind. How many of us, when somebody mentioned this today in the Sunday school class, how many of us, how many Christians are weighed down by sin or something that God has already forgiven, has thrown into the sea, and has forgotten about? Forgiveness is like taking someone off our hook and putting them on God's hook. And sometimes we need to do that for ourselves, right? We need to take ourselves off our own hook and put ourselves on God's hook and let Him be just and gracious because our sins have been covered by the cross. So in desiring to run this race with spude, having that spudazzo, giving it everything, we're going to fall. We're going to get off course. And Paul says, when you do, get up. Forget what is behind and take the next step forward. Because it's going to happen. And yes, as we grow in our daily life, then like as God shapes us and transforms us, then Lord willing, we're staying on the path more often than we're not, right? But when we stumble and fall, or when we put a backpack full of whatever on, fix our eyes on Christ, know who He is and what He's done, and get back up and keep going. Because there's a race that we've been called to run. We've talked about this concept before. The power of 1 degree. Okay, so like if we had this circle here, okay, you probably can't even see it, okay? But there's a little 1% right there, and there's a line that starts right at the center, and it goes out, and it doesn't go quite straight, okay? Maybe if you squint, you can see that it's fatter at the end of it, okay? What that is we divided the circle into 360 degrees, right? Because that's math. There's 360 degrees in a circle, and we drew a straight line out, but we just drew it 1 degree off. And it looks pretty close, okay? So we're talking about the power of 1 degree, okay? I got to get in my notes so that I'm not doing this from memory. If I were to like take a step straight forward, but I just started 1 degree off, I would be 0.2 inch away from where I would have been. That's not that big of a deal, right? But if it was 100 yards, and I'm trying to go straight to the corner, and I go 100 yards, but I'm off by just 1 degree, then I'll be off by 5 feet. Again, not super huge, but here's an example when it was really big. Right there. Okay, now this was not the Super Bowl last week. Okay, this was like, you know, more than a decade ago, but I still have that picture here in my notes. But that's, something where if somebody would have been off just 1 degree lining that field, that's not a touchdown. Or maybe conspiracy theorists could say he was off, so it shouldn't have been a touchdown. But nodding over there, thanks, Pastor Adam. In aviation, it's the rule is if you go, I gotta look here. If you're 1 degree off course after 60 miles, you'll be a complete mile away. Or how about this? You get in an airplane, you're going from San Francisco all the way over to Washington, D.C. If you just go 1 degree off your course, you'll be, 46 miles away, 42 miles away, and you'll end up in Baltimore. Much different than Washington, D.C. Or what about if you are, here's a picture that you can see where you'd be. You'd end up at the dot instead of the star. Or how about a rocket ship? We want to go to the moon. We have a straight course where we just start 1 degree off, we would miss the moon by 2 whole diameters of the moon. Not even close. Now, we could look at this, and we could be like, this is very disheartening. Because in this walk of life, if I'm just 1 degree off, then I'm going to miss what God has for me. Which, okay, that's true. But here's where the power of it is. How about a 1 degree shift? When we stumble and fall, because we've gotten off the path, God says, get back up and get back on the path. Repentance is a school from which we will never graduate. We always need to be living in that, turning away from sin and turning towards God. So why go through all these examples of that 1 degree? Because here, as we let God work in us, when we stumble and fall, we get back up, we let Him course correct us and get back on the path, we can make it to where He wants us to be. You see, God is a master at working in the lives of broken, messed up humans to bring about His will. So it's okay for us to be broken. It's okay for us to be human. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Him, let Him do a work within us, and take the next step forward. Because when we let Him course correct, then things maybe that we thought we missed, we don't. Because that's the power of His renewal in our life. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what Peter is talking about. So what does all of this mean for us today? Okay, here's a couple of so whats, okay? Number one, like remember like the seriousness or the weightiness of being a Christian. Like we're called to have diligence, to give it our all, that spudazzo. Like it's an important thing. Not just to go through life like, ho-hum, who cares, but there's a race that God wants us to run. And there's a reason why the writers of Scripture use strong words and like these athletic things because they want to motivate us. So let's remember that. Number two, let's take time to examine ourselves. What are the weights that I tend to pick up? Or maybe that I'm wearing right now? What is a sin that so easily entangles? Like where we just let ourselves be open before God and His Word and His Spirit and be like, God, You know me better than I know me. Will You show me these things? Show me the things that weigh me down and distract me, that trip me up. And then to seek to make a strategic plan by the power of His Spirit. How can you intentionally fix your eyes on Christ? How can you intentionally grow in your knowledge of Him? How can you lay aside the weights and the sin? How can you run to win? Maybe you need to invite somebody into a part of your life so that they can help you out. Maybe you need to set up some guardrails in your life so that you bump up into the guardrail before you fall off the side into sin. But like for you as an individual, like what? How can you be strategic by the Spirit to say, God, I want to run this life. I want to run this race of this life You've given me. And I want to have an intentionality and a seriousness about it. And remember to do that. It's about forgetting what is behind and pressing on. And I think the crux of it is pursuing, knowing Christ. We're gonna continue this theme over the next couple weeks as we look more at what it means for us to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ. We're going to jump back into the book of Mark. Okay, I know it's been like 2.5 months since we've been in there, but it's where Jesus is talking about, he's talking to His disciples, and He's showing them what it means to follow Him. And so we're going to jump back into that, but what I want us to do is to, God, will You help us to live this out, and then for us to take the intentionality to work step by step with God's Spirit, to be the people that He wants us to be, to be the church that He wants us to be. Because the exhortation is, let's do this, and let's do this together. Let's be people that live our life with spudazzo, that we seek to give it our everything. And again, as our praise band comes on up to close out with a song that I think is really fitting, "For all of my days I will live for Your glory, running with courage and faith." Yeah, Adam picked a good song out. In our desire to run this race, remember, the foundation of it is fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And remember, it's not just the author, the one who wrote it, but it's the one who went, the pioneer. The one who's already run the race, and now He comes back to run it with us, to bring us to the end. That's what it means to be the author and finisher, or the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because it's not about what you do, it's what He has done, period. And it is also about going, God, I want to have a seriousness and an intentionality about living this out. So let's do this. And let's do it together by the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. God, we want to be Your people. God, we want to run this race as a church. We want to run this race as families, as individuals. God, will You teach us more and more how we can fix our eyes on You, how we can let the truth of Your Word be, and the truth of who You are and what You've done, spur us on in our life. God, I pray that You will set us free from the things that weigh us down and the sin that tangles us up, Lord God. God, that You'll do a work within us, that we may be at Your people running hard after You. God, help us to put the time and intentionality into seeking to, by Your power, by Your Spirit, walk out this life You've given us. And God, when we stumble and fall, when we get off track, when we pick up backpacks that we don't want to carry, help us to fix our eyes on You, to let You take those away, to get back on the path and run the race. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness. Thank You for the hope of heaven, the confident expectation of heaven. Thank you for the inheritance that we have and for your great power that works within us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.